Well, let's pray. You do a lot of praying when you're a Christian, you know. That's how we link up. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much that your anointing has come and blessed us and helped us. It has taken us to this place. And now let us do it honor and let it continue in the Word and help us to establish things in our heart. As a congregation, we yield. As the preacher, I yield. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And then if you're going to Proverbs 28, just flip a few pages over and find Proverbs 30. Go 28 and then 30. Just put a... It's in my Bible, it's one page. But you might have one of those expanded translations. It could be three pages for all I know. Just find it and put your finger in it. Boy, the Lord is so good. Hallelujah. He's so good. All right, Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 30, verse 30. A lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any. Now, I think it's cute, but don't be shocked. The inspiration for my message came from a movie trailer. You know what a movie trailer is? You know that little snippet of a movie that's coming? Yeah. There I was. I was in the theater. Excuse me. Pastor Cook knows that if you're in the theater and the trumpet calls, that's where you're staying. Am I right, brother? See? Don't laugh, ladies. If you're wearing earrings, you're staying too. Uh-huh. But there I was, getting ready to watch a movie, and here comes this trailer on. So, out of that, I turned and told my wife. Yeah, I took her with me. She's a Ruth, you know. I'll go where you go. Your God will be my theater too. Oh no, I mean my God too. Anyway, so here it goes. Rise and rise again until lambs become lions. The new Robin Hood movie. I know none of you guys, you know, give yourself over to that, so I'll let you know. But rise and rise again until lambs become lions. In other words, don't give up. Keep on going until you have the victory. Winston Churchill, you know, he was the prime minister during World War II in England. And the German army at that time, the Nazi regime, did a thing called the Blitzkrieg, where that's how they took over Poland and Norway and all these other countries. They would come just to the border and just roll across with all kinds of bombs and weapons and planes and tanks and people and just swamp them. Well, you know, England was across the water. So the Blitzkrieg concerning England was they sent planes and they bombed the living tar out of England. And now, I believe this was before America entered the war and it looked like England was going to be lost. How many of you feel like you've been bombed to oblivion and it looks like you're going to be lost? One more blow and I'm gone. Huh? So here they've bombed in England. Nobody lives above. They all live down in these holes. The sirens would go off and everyone would hide. So here comes Winston Churchill, the leader of the country, and he comes to address the Parliament, and he needs to stir them up. He needs to reinvigorate victory in their life. And he stands up, and I don't know if you've ever seen him. You know, he's... can you see him now? With his... English, you know, British. And he gives a speech that is 6 words long, and he sits down. Now his country is being destroyed. The people are without hope. They're swallowed up by fear. Surely, just as the Nazis took Poland and France and Norway and Austria, there was other countries there too, Czechoslovakia and so on. Surely as they blitzkrieg them, they're doing it to us and we're going to fall. What are we going to do? Here's the leader of the country stands up and gives a 6-word message. And he says, never, never, never give up. And he sits down. You got to rise. And you've got to rise again. Until that lamb in you, that brokenness, that weakness. You know, lambs don't protect themselves at all. Dogs will protect themselves. Lambs don't. Until that lamb becomes a lion. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. I'm going to scurry over there. Here we go, says this. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking lambs. Verse 9 says, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Now you remember the story of Goliath and David. And David is up there in the chamber with Saul now because, you know, the other soldiers heard him talking. Well, tell me the story. What's going to happen to the man that defeats this uncircumcised, roaring Philistine? For 40 days he roared. And so they told him, hey, if you can beat that guy, not only you'll get the king's daughter. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You'll get the king's riches. That's pretty cool. You will be tax exempt. Show me where the giant is. Show me the man that defies the army of Israel. Tax exempt? Not only me, but my whole family? I'm in. Let's go. But he's up there in the tent now with Saul. And he says to Saul, he said, a lion came and took one of our lambs. And so I called to my daddy, Daddy, come help me. And Daddy said, well, all the brothers are off to war. I don't know what to do. David said, no, I went after the lion and I caught it and I took the lamb back. He was a boy. He was just a pup, a lamb himself. And so as I put this together, I asked myself three things came to me that I answered. I got to rise and rise again until I overcome my enemies. Whether they're in me or out here in the world. You know, in my life, I'll be honest with you, my worst enemy is my inability to steward my own finances. I was a lamb. And the devil came through and manipulated me. He roared in my wallet. And I said, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, I want that, I want that, I want that. Oh, I'm out of money. Credit, 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 credit. It's time for me, and anywhere else that illustration fits, for you to rise up. And so I just started taking notes. And what I got is, what's it going to take to get you to become a lion? Now, there's something I recently have been getting a hold of, that there's really no formulas. I know as preachers we come and give you 10 things, we come and give you 5 things, and those are all well and good, and, you know, they can work to some degree, but actually there's no formulas, there's a heart. There's an inner man. So what's it going to take? Let's open up to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'll read verse 11. Matthew 11, 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there was not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, I just want to go back and think about all these people that came up here. They think they're the least. But Jesus just said, there was no one greater born than John the Baptist, but he just said, wait a minute, if you're the least, you're greater than him. He goes on to say, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What's it going to take? It's going to take you. Now, don't look at me and say, well, you don't understand. I'm weak, and I'm lowly, and I'm insufficient. I know that. So am I. But when you take yourself before the kingdom of God, if you will, those things don't count. It's what happens after that. I like what one translation says about this, the violent take it by force. He said, the violently in love with Christ grasp it. See, it's a heart thing. You know why the blood flowed? I was there, you know, and I can genuinely say that the gift of prophecy came on me. And the Lord began to speak to me. But I didn't feel that I needed to prophesy, and thank God I didn't. Because there was a different order that was coming. And the Lord said, you know why the blood flowed? He said, my heart was fixed. And then he began, in my mind, I began to think about, you know why the prophet spoke of Jesus? Because God's heart was fixed. His love was fixed. You know why he was born of a virgin? Because his love was fixed. You know why he walked as a man and fulfilled all the law? Because his love was fixed. You know why he went to the cross and suffered such shame and things that are not even right to suffer? Because God's love was fixed. You know why he went into the grave, into the depths of hell, there to suffer for us? Because God's love was fixed. It's not over yet. You know why he resurrected from the grave? Because God's love was fixed. You know why he sat down at the right hand of God to declare everyone that comes into his kingdom can have the same kind of love God has, a fixed love. Because when God fixed his love on me, say that, God fixed his love on me. Hallelujah. On me. Now, I know it sounds a little selfish, but you know God is for me forever. I know he's for Brother Billy, but hey, he's for me. He fixed his love, and Jesus came and fulfilled the word. It says that another translation, I love this. What's it going to take? Those who use violent efforts drag it to themselves. I don't know about you. I've talked about this before. I call them the acid tears. Do some of you know what I'm talking about? You're laying there on your bed, your head's back this, and those tears are running down your eyes because your whole life is garbage. And you think you've ruined everything, and those tears are burning a track down your face, and you know they're hitting the pedal. Maybe some of you have never experienced that. But I believe everybody somewhere has. You just have to get violent. You have to decide that it's going to take everything. Look at this. I like what God's Word Bible says, that the kingdom of God was forcibly advancing and the forceful people have been seizing it. Amen. You've got to rise and rise again until the lamb becomes a lion. Lay hold of it. Oh, man. And in the Weiss translation, it says, the kingdom of God is being taken by storm, and the strong and forceful ones claim it for themselves. We just sang about how the blood claimed you for himself. What's it going to take? We're just going to have to settle down through the hot, acidy tears, through the throat full of pain. And you know when you're just so cry that you can't hardly speak it because you're worn out? Through that, you're going to have to say, God, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So right now, right in the middle of this, I am going to take your ways. I'll tell you what, that's going to take every kind of violence in you to do it. Even if you say it with a whimper, you must say it. You must rise up and seize the kingdom of God. And in your pain and hurt, just drag it to you and say, this is mine and I'll live it. What if you die? Then I'm going to die dragging it to me. What if it don't happen? I'm going to drag it to me in the don't happen. Because one of these times, I'm going to rise up again and the lamb is going to be defeated and a lion. For the righteous are bold as a lion. The devil is not going to steal this lamb. Now, I want to talk about, so we see what it's going to take. And we go, whew, that's everything. Can I give a phrase that we have heard a lot? It comes out of Matthew 22. And it says, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, and all of thy mind. And another one of the Gospels says, with all your strength. With all your strength. So that's what it's going to take. But to get to there, we need to unload some things. Philippians chapter 3. Okay. We already had the altar call, so I can go right up to quit time, right? Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. Amen. That's what Brother Ken just told us. There ain't nobody in here that was perfect this last week. But I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. He says, I press on. Verse 13 says, I'm reaching forward, or another translation saying, stretching forward. Now, Paul is using a race like the Olympics of his time. He's talking about a runner. And when he's talking about being focused on the call and the mark, he's talking about in his lane where God has put him. Now, if anybody knows about running races, if you run a race and you run out of your lane, you're disqualified. So you got to stay in your lane and you got to focus on what's ahead, not what's in the back. You got to upload some things. I like this. Oh, I said unload first, right? Upload's the next one. Did you know that those individuals that ran this race that Paul's getting this example from, they ran it naked? Yeah. Not a fig leaf on a one of them. Naked. As a jaybird, as they say. Like that song said, Ethel! Too late! The streak, you know. Some of you are not that old, but that's okay. Pastor John is. They ran that race naked. They had to unload something to run in the race. They had to unload something to run in that race. And then, after they were unloaded, they took off all their burdens, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you, setting aside every weight that easily besets you. It's all through the Bible. You've got to unload. And that's what happened just moments ago. Now, some of you didn't come, but this message is for you also. Don't forget that. You came up here and you unloaded. You unloaded. You said, yeah, Lord, that's me. I'm just full of it. And so you unloaded. And the Lord ministered to you. So you got to unload things. And then you have to upload some things. Now, here in verse 13, God's Word puts it this way. He says, I don't look back. I lengthen my stride and I run. First of all, it's going to take everything you got. Your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. And then you're just going to have to unload all those things. I know that it feels like the load is still there. But by faith, you unload it. And Jesus takes care of it. If you have to, every morning when you wake up, say, I unload this thing. Unload that. And then you don't look back. And then you say, all right, you've got everything that I am. I'm unloaded. And you just start lengthening your stride. Just, I'm running toward it. I'm going to get it. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Lonnie. I don't have a car to get to church. Unload it. Get on the bus. Get on the shuttle. Call a friend. Oh, but you don't know I call friends all the time. Call them again. If they're a Christian, they need to unload. Oh, that's so inconvenient. See, he calls me on Sunday. I can't believe it. I'm talking, that was me. None of you guys are like that, of course. I understand. You can't look back. You got to lengthen your stride and run. Now, the last thing. You got to upload. Let's look at Psalms 57. Psalm 57. Says this, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Just turn the page a little more to Psalms 108. Psalms 108. Verse 1. O my God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Verse 13. Through God we will do violently. For it is He who shall tread down our enemies. 112th Psalm, just a couple pages over. Verses 7 and 8. Talking about the righteous man, verse 6 says, the righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. He, until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Rise and rise again until the Lamb sees the desire upon his enemies. And I don't mean that's your stepmother. I don't mean that's your mother-in-law. Or your daddy, or as they say, your biological daddy that was just so mean and nasty to you. Doesn't mean that. It means the enemies that are inside of you. The enemies that fight against you. Those enemies, those thoughts that are lower than God's thoughts. You have to upload new thoughts that fix you. That fix you. Not only fix you literally, that straightens you out, but fix your feet on the solid rock. In Psalms 40, it says, "The Lord has delivered me, and He's lifted my feet up out of the miry clay, the mud, and set me on a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth. At the hearing, all will praise God." You got an upload, a fixed heart. James chapter 1. Of course, I won't leave you without telling you what it is. What is that product that fixes your heart? What is that thing that stabilizes, that makes you say, "I'm not afraid of nothing. I don't care how many nights I cry on my pillow, I am going to rise up. I am going to fulfill what God wants. I am willing and ready to be violent about this thing. And if I have to strip everything off me and run it naked in the spirit, I'm going to do it." James chapter 1, verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Continues in the Word. This is the product, or this is the program, should I say, that you need to upload into yourself. The Word of God will be the only thing that will fix you in God. It's the Word of God. We talked about it in Sunday school. We talked about the four kinds of faith: saving faith, general faith, fruitfulness, or faithfulness, and of course the gift of faith. We saw that faithfulness is the one that fixes you in God. It's the one that you will be rewarded for. I don't care how many people I lay hands on their forehead and they get delivered of every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. When I step through the portals of heaven, He's not going to say, "Oh, great healer that got cancer healed." No, He's going to say, "Oh, good and faithful." The Word is the only thing that will fix your heart, and you will be faithful. Even through the mud, the tears, the sun, the weather, even when your wife's nagging you. Not your wife, of course, because you said she was pretty good. So whose wife nags in here? Raise your hand so I can use you. Oh, whoa! No, sir! No, sir! No, sir! The man is not supposed to raise their hand. That's rule one. Now when someone says, "Who's got the greatest wife?" Man, that's your opportunity. There you go. Someone says, "Who has got the continual nagging?" Go, "Not me. My wife's nice." Man, the guy raised his hand. I can't get it. I guess the Word says, "Don't lie to your neighbor, but speak the truth." But there won't be much love when he gets home. Oh, never mind. So we get into the Word and we continue there. Now I want to just give... I want to interject this because I'm really fired up about it. There's four kinds of Christians. Those who enter but do not the work. That come into this building, there's four kinds. Those that enter but don't do the work. Now there's those who work, but they don't enter. And then there's those that neither enter nor work. But there are those who enter and do the work. In uploading, you need to connect with God and with the work of God. You can't just come in and not do nothing. "But you don't know my schedule." I don't care about your schedule. I can start telling you about schedules of people I know that go to this church and they're here and they're connecting and they're coming into the work. If you want to upload a heart of God so that you are fixed, you need to connect with God and the work of God. Don't be like those other three. Be one that comes in and connects and does. Now the last scripture is in Hebrews. And I'm going to tell you right up, it's a scathing scripture. It's a hard scripture. It's like when your daddy looked at him, looks at you with the belt in his hand. No. I think we pass over scriptures that are meant to encourage us, but we've read them for so long and it discouraged us. And this scripture is an encouragement. You know, every word in this Bible has been inspired by God, has been breathed out by God to be written for the help and training of the people of God so that they may be furnished completely to do the work of God. It's been given us to connect with God so that we can connect with His work. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. And this goes, you know what it's going to take. Everybody say with me, all. You know what I got to unload? All of me. And now you got to upload a fixed heart in God. That's through His Word. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's the whole problem with 90% of all Christians. They want the promise without doing the will of God. I fit in that category for many, many years. But I have decided it's the end of the road for that man. I am no longer going to be in that category. But I'm going to find the will of God. I'm going to do it with all my heart. And I'm going to do it without payment as unto Him. And allow Him to reward me after I have endured. Hallelujah. And you can't beat God's payment system. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come. Hallelujah. And still I will praise Him. That's right now. And will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And here it is. Listen to these words. Let them pierce your innermost being. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, let me step back and say what is not in there. It doesn't say anyone that draws back is going straight to hell. It doesn't say that. It says those that quit and don't keep pressing, don't keep lengthening their stride, don't keep unloading this past, don't stop taking in the thoughts and the knowledge of God, that person does not please God. Now, if that pokes you, praise the Lord. Because every time I read it, it pokes me. Acts 13:13, you don't have to go there, I'll just tell you about John Mark. He set off, fired up young man, ready to go to the work. He connected with the Word there. Barnabas, sister, son. He connected with the Word. He said, yeah, let's get after it. He said, yeah, I want to go to the work with you, Paul and Saul, Paul and Barnabas. And so they get going. They go to one place. There's demon manifestations. And then the next verse down the way there, in verse 13, it says, and John departed. He went back to his mama's house. He quit. And you don't think that was displeasing? There in Acts 15, you see the story 36 through 41 where Barnabas and Paul says, hey, let's saddle up the horses and go see the boys. Check on the ranches. The churches, you know, we planted. See how the cattle are going. Or, you know, see how the sheep are, if any lions have gotten in and tore into the, you know, the herd. Barnabas, he loves his sister. Let's take my nephew John. And Paul, in no uncertain terms, says, no. And may I read in between and say, he's a quitter. Yeah. True. That almost makes me want to cry to say that. Do you know you have to face yourself? I had to face myself. You have to face yourself. Am I a quitter? Now, They got in such an argument, there was such a displeasure in Paul's mouth of the taste of that, that they split apart, went their own way. And you say, well, I know, that's me, that's why. Ah, but not give up on John yet. Later on, you read in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, bring me John, for he is profitable.
Yep.
Something happened to John. Somewhere, he found out what it's going to take. He found out what he needs to unload. He found out where he needs to strip off from him. He found out where he needed to be naked. And he began to upload this thing called the gospel that he saw in Barnabas and he saw in Paul. He began to upload it and it began to fix his heart, unmovable, on the rock Christ Jesus. And he became profitable. In Colossians, I think it's chapter, let's see, put the glasses, I can see it. Chapter 4 and verse 10, he says of John Mark, he tells other people, John Mark is coming. Do good to him because I told you how he is.
Yep.
So if, you know, at the end of you're saying, man, like, that's tough. God has no pleasure. I'm a quitter. Okay, so am I. But don't stay there. Those that responded to this altar call, you're not a quitter now. You're like John Mark is when he realized what it was going to take.
Yep.
What he needed to do. And he got after it.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ta-da. That's it. I guess, Brother Shearer, you wanted to come here? I'll let you. Then, now, when he's done, I can still pray for people. Say you didn't. You know what I love about God? Brother Ken knows. God's been this way with him. Even if you missed an opportunity, he still has the door cracked.
Yeah, he does.
You ever heard that song, Where Love Is At, The Back Door's Cracked? Audio Adrenaline? Huh? Come on. The door's cracked. When we're done, if you need prayer, you can still come up.
When you're thinking, especially those that came up here, you're thinking this week, the enemy's going to try and get you back in the negative thinking again. All he wants you to think about is what you were. Refuse them thoughts. Choose not to think of what you were. Believe what God says you are now. You're not going to become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. But what about what I did? It's forgiven. It's under the blood. Forget it. Let it go. Refuse to think about it. It's your choice. Do you realize you're thinking what you want to think right now? What are you going to do about it? You're going to let your mind tell you what to think, or are you going to tell your mind what to think? Talk to your natural mind out of your spirit. Tell it what to think. Just refuse them thoughts. Is that too simple? No. You think what you think because you've let yourself think it. Quit it. Stand up. I'm not up here to preach. Father, thank you for your presence and anointing here. It's what really counts, Father. That'll last. So bless these people. May they enjoy your presence and your love and share it with others in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if anyone wants to be prayed with, Lonnie's up here to do that.
Yes.
God bless you.